All right, hello y'all. Y'all come on in. I'm gonna do coaching today. Coaching today. Let me get my little screens all pulled up for y'all. So if you want coaching, all you have to do is raise your hand, and then I will call on you. And get this up. Get this up. All right. So yeah, that's what we do on Sundays. We coach. I do have an announcement to make. So right now, nobody needs coaching. If all I'm going to do is make some announcements and then us get out of here, that's what we'll do because I've got 365s to record for y'all and all kinds of bullshit that I've got to do today between two calls. So, starting in December, this call is going to change times. So, I will be moving this call. Now, I have had this call on Sundays at this time for a long, 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 long time. And usually I switch things up every now and then. And I just haven't, I don't know, it's, I haven't had a real reason to switch it for a while, but I have a reason. So my mother has started going back to church, and my grandmother, God rest her soul, one of the things that really bothered her was she was kind of the matriarch of the family who, you know, like Granny, she, I think she was Baptist when she was little. And then she married my grandfather, who was Catholic. And then she converted to Catholicism. And then she just was like the one that, you know, drug our sorry asses to church whenever we didn't want to go. And y'all know that I went to church, or I went to Catholic school all my life. So I have decided I'm going back to church and I'm going to let y'all hold me accountable. But the only way to do it is for me to get my ass up on Sunday mornings. And I cannot start this call at 10 o'clock to do it. I can't always roll my ass out of bed and be functional enough to get ready. So there's an 8 o'clock mass, and I think there's a 10 o'clock mass. So if I, whichever one I go to, I can be here for a noon call. So we are just rolling the calls back. So this call starting the first Sunday in December is moving to noon Central Time. Then we will do our 90 minutes. That'll take us noon to 1:30. And then starting at 2 or 2:30 is when any secondary calls will happen. So like today, there's a regain call. And it usually happens about 30 minutes when we conclude this one. I'd say we're going to do a 90-minute call. We almost always end up going over a little bit. Just depends on how things are going. So I am I'm going to move the calls because here's what I know. I really like y'all, I know some of y'all do not believe in God. That is fine with me. My husband does not. I'm not married to someone who is religious or has faith. And I pray for him only because, like, as a Catholic, I don't want to end up going to hell because I didn't pray for him. So I'm always trying to, like, spread my bets, cover everything. But it's just really important to me. And I'm going to do it. And there's no way that I'm showing up to the pearly gates and getting booted out because I was doing Sunday coaching calls. So I figure God's gonna be like, well, Corinne, now you kind of own that business. You could have always just, you know, changed the time. So I'm gonna be wise and do that shit. So that's what we're doing. And I'll just be real honest, I don't take a lot of time for myself. I love working. I absolutely love it. I was working all day yesterday while I'm watching football last night. I was working, one of my team members, she was like, why are you in here asking for something? And it was like 7 o'clock at night because they're all used to me being in bed. And I said, well, number one, it's football. So when there's, it's, when it's college football Saturday, I kind of get geeked up. I can't go to bed at my normal time anyway. I always end up staying to see who wins the night game. Second is, y'all are gonna be excited. I don't know what got up my ass. But Friday, I just decided I am writing the regain course. Like I had been promising that I was going to update it. And I had this framework that I taught back in September. And so yesterday I was like thinking about it. And when I taught it, I realized there was a couple things I wanted to change. And so I spent all day yesterday and all day today and part of Friday. And every video is now all done. I just have to film the videos at this point. And then next I'll do the guide and the worksheets, and there's going to be a special regain planner, and it's going to be an 8-week planner. And I am so proud of this, and I am just like, fuck, when I get focused, I can do some shit. So that will be coming out soon. Don't quote me on a date because we are in the middle of loose 10 and I still have to pull together the workbook and stuff. And this week I have people in town who are doing meetings so that we're going to do some stuff to the website. We got some decisions to make about content next year. But give us a couple weeks and then I think I'll be able to just drop it and then we will let everybody know that it's there. But it's really good. All right, what well, we need coaching on.
Yep. All right. So, returning member after 5 or 6 years in and out, doing the drop 10 by the end of the month or end of the year, not dropping 10, but in the program. So, this weekend was my first party that I'm planning for and felt a ton of anxiousness on Friday. Sent a
Good.
plan to MJ in the morning, sent notes to my accountability partner, but was just all anxious. Ended up having an overeat.
That is exactly what's supposed to happen, though. We're not going to work on the anxiety.
Okay.
You're doing
Perfect.
something new.
Yeah.
And so, what happens when we do something new? Our brain is like, what are we doing? If I asked you right now,
Right.
how about you strip down naked and run down your street? Let's just see what happens. You'd
Right.
be anxious.
Yeah. I
Like,
would.
and that's pretty much what you're doing when you're going to a party and you're going to do it a new way. It's like saying, I'm going in naked. That's what I'm doing.
I chose
We
not
want
to
to feel
drink.
anxious, which is
Yeah.
great.
Yeah,
All
I
right. So we're
chose not
riding
to
shy.
drink so that I could be. So I have a party every weekend from now, basically through the end of the year.
Okay.
So my accountability partner said, "How about Kathy's method of hand over the heart?" And I was like, "Not enough. Didn't work."
What are we trying to,
So
right? We're,
I
but we
would
don't want
like.
to fix anxiety.
Okay.
Right now, we don't want to fix anxiety. Do you know what the best antidote for anxiety, future anxiety is? Learn from our mistakes
No.
so that we feel better equipped for the next time. If you feel better equipped for the next time, guess what?
Right.
Anxiety is not like, oh my God, it's the first fucking time. Like, it's like, oh my God, it's the second time. I hope we do better. We learned a lot the first time. You'll still be anxious, but it won't ever be like the first time. So, what'd you learn from this experience? You're freezing up. Do you know that? Let me pause this. Gone. Okay. So, answer this question. What did you learn from this experience? Right now, you're trying to just solve your anxiety because you think your anxiety caused all the overeats. And this, I think, just going to the party strung you out, and then you were dealing with that at the party. But like, what did you learn about what makes you anxious at the party? Or just tell me what happened
Yeah.
when you got there. That's easier.
Well, part of it was a work party, so I was the hostess. So I had to make sure 200 people were eating, having fun. I didn't get to enjoy myself. It was actually work versus the other people that were there for my work party were there to enjoy. So there's that stress of it. And
Well, one thing is the stress of telling yourself your job is to make sure every single, all 200 people have a good time. Instead
that's
of
true.
my job is to actually host a really good party and people are going to come in and some of them aren't going to have a good time because it's a work fucking party and they don't want to be there.
Right.
Like, I just want you to see, like, your brain automatically went in with all this pressure.
It did.
That didn't even
100%.
have to do with your food and like trying to eat. It
No.
was if I set myself up for a party to have unrealistic like I need the next party, I need to examine my expectations.
Because I'm hosting that one again, so that is good. Because then after that, I'm not hosting. So go into the expectation of I'm going to have the food, have the drink, have the home ready, and everybody's going to do what they're going to do. And
Yeah,
hopefully
let me
they
ask
enjoy
you this.
themselves.
How many complaints did you get about the party for this last one?
Zero. I got texts the next morning that they're blessed to have me there, and people
Okay,
telling my husband how amazing I am.
so
So.
that makes it super simple for the next party for you to say, I already know how to give people a damn good time.
True.
I can
I
give
do.
people such a good time that people will take the time to text me and tell me all about it.
Right. And they
So
did.
we
And
now,
that I said to myself the next morning, I was like, that's why I did it. That's it.
So for this next party, let's just not address every party you got to go to right now. Let's just think
Yeah.
about the next one.
Next one.
What do you need to do differently for yourself other than trust that you know how to throw a good party now? That your brain kind of freaked out that you were supposed to make everybody happy and that really wasn't true. Like the truth was, you always knew how to throw a good party. You always knew how to do this. You always knew how to make sure people had a good time. You knew how to create the environment. The truth is
Yes.
also not everybody always has good times at parties because they have introversion, social anxiety. They fucking go because their boss told them they had to, not because they want to. I remember back at, I'm just going to say this. I got to say this out loud. I used to hate corporate parties, and I don't care what they did to those things. I didn't want to be there. I'd rather be at a bar with my friends than be at a stuffy fucking place with 200 people that I cared about five of
Right.
them. So you could have like brought out Dolly Parton on stage, and I probably still would have had a band. All right.
Yeah. So I think I need to maybe go into the day. I tried to put in place, I went for a walk before the party started so I could decompress. And I went to my desk and, had a protein bar and took a minute and just got away from everybody. So I did try to build those things into my day, knowing I was going to be anxious. So I probably need to do the same thing this weekend, but tell myself not one person has ever said I didn't have a good time at your house. So it's going to be
Exactly.
fine. It's going to
Do
be
you think
fine.
that's why you ate? Do you know why you didn't follow your plan or whatever when you were there? Like if you had to guess?
Because I did it and it felt like it calmed my nervous system. I told the person, I said, Keith, I love Doritos. He's like, have some. I said, no, I've just eaten my lunch. I'm full. He pours them on a plate and my nervous system said, yes. I was like, I don't want to continue to do that at parties. I want to,
But that's okay.
yeah.
Like, now what happened after that? So you had a
Then,
plate of Doritos.
And then the
And
rest of
then
the
what happened?
night I was on plan. It was
Okay. So
just,
are we
yeah.
really sitting here saying that you need coaching because you went into a party and ate a plate of Doritos because Keith offered them to you?
I feel like yes, because I don't want that pattern to continue for the rest of this season. And I want to do parties better. I want to do them on my terms with the food I chose and the way I wanted to eat it. And not because he's like, here are Doritos that I said I didn't
Yeah,
want.
but I just want you to remember in the moment that is what you wanted to do.
It was.
That was on
Yes.
your terms. You
Okay.
just need to realize, like, oh, like when I'm really anxious, the only thing you really need going forward is now I know that when I'm anxious or, even I want you to keep all the behaviors you were doing.
Okay.
Even, but if I notice that I'm still really anxious and I'm like, adrenaline's running because I'm in charge of the
Yes.
party and stuff. The only thing I need to watch out for is when somebody offers me food to calm me down. And rather than telling them I brought my lunch, just say, I have already ate too much. I am good.
Right.
And then ask them a question like, are you having a good time?
Yeah.
Because when you say, like, no, I already brought my lunch, and like you kind of have that nervous energy around describing it, you know what Keith's now thinking? Well, she should be having a good time. She doesn't
Yeah.
look like she is. I need to rescue her. And I
Right.
know how Doritos, they make me feel good. They taste damn good. I bet it'll make her feel good too. Like, so like just be recognizing that when you're at your parties, don't look like a drowning victim that needs to be saved. And people
Right.
won't throw you life jackets and, donuts.
Right. And you've always said that we've trained the people around us to offer us the food and offer us the things because they see that that's how they're caring for you and helping you. And we, the members, are the ones that have shown them that pattern. So we just have to show them a new pattern.
And I also like, I know you don't want to repeat that pattern. I think that's fine. But I don't like the way you came in hot as if like, I fucked this party up and I've got so many more parties and
I
this is
know.
a real problem. And I'm like, I
That's
don't
you ate
know. Seems
Doritos.
like you handle things really well. And when Keith offered you Doritos, he caught you in a moment where you were stressed. We just need that. That's something to watch out for at the next party.
Right,
We need to like
right.
and remind ourselves, like, we're really good at parties.
Yeah. And I can be. Yeah, I just don't want to use fo food for that social anxiety part that you were talking about, the introvert who's at a big party who, I don't this season, which is why I'm back. I was like, nope, that's perfect. This is what I need to learn this holiday season in this 9 weeks
And I
is
will
how to
just tell
take care of
you,
me.
one thing is, it's not that you can be good at parties. You've already been good at parties.
Okay. It's the words.
You just ate a plate of Doritos.
Right.
Like, you didn't fucking eat the rest of the time.
No, I
You
did
came
not.
and got coached. You talked to your accountability partner. Just want you to think about, like, this is pretty much about the best we can expect. And then eventually you won't even need the Doritos. But
Right.
and the only way to not need those things later is to do like what we just did. Let's just look at what actually happened. Let's just be calm for a moment. Let's not
Yeah.
pretend like this is a, this is a habit I don't want to repeat. It's like, let's just look at what happened so that next time I'm better equipped. I know what I need. Maybe you need like a few more breaks during the party. You
Right.
know, it's
Yeah.
like, for some of y'all who are have a lot of social anxiety, frequent breaks while you're at parties, like frequently going to the bathroom, frequently stepping outside, doing those things in the middle of the park, finding like little ways that you can calm yourself down helps, because you can do a lot of stuff to settle your nervous system before you go in, but your nervous system gets reactivated when you go in
Definitely. Yes.
most of the time. And then until you get really used to being at parties and it not being so overwhelming and all that kind of stuff, you just want to be really good at taking care of yourself when you're there.
Sorry, oven, please. I'm food prepping.
That's okay.
Timer's going off. So no,
That's
I
all right.
appreciate it. I appreciate that, in the calls, these new calls with MJ, she's like, email me, and I am emailing her. I am reaching out. I'm saying I'm giving her a weekend plan. I'm going to debrief on Mondays. I'm going to let her know I talked to you. I'm like, she's here. So all the ladies listening, use them. MJ is not kidding. She has responded and she will respond, and that's why we're here.
And y'all can also use Ask Coaches, because the nice thing about Ask Coaches, that's where Kathy and Lisa hide. I say hide, but that's where they are. But that's
Right.
where they live. And Kathy and Lisa, for all of you who need nervous system work, that is their specialties. That's where they're
Gotcha.
highly trained. And so, like, when you can use MJ, that's fine. I don't care about that. It's
Okay.
just more, I just want you to see all the avenues that are available to you.
Right. Well, I appreciate it. I'm very happy to be back, Corinne.
All right. Thank you,
Thank
Colleen.
you. Have a good holiday.
Baller
Woohoo. Thanks, Corinne.
party planner.
Bye.
Bye. She's like, plan me some parties. Corinne does not do the party. I'm like, a hell no. Corinne, did you have social anxiety at work functions? Yeah. Back in the day, when I weighed 250, I had like all the anxiety. Hell, I had anxiety when I always tell y'all this. I'd be in meetings at work. Like, I mean, like an hour long meeting. And if I wouldn't even go to the bathroom if I had to, because I didn't want to squeeze between the chairs and make everybody notice that my ass was big and that they'd have to move. And that would just like, So, but this is the problem. You're asking me, how did I handle it back then? Not well. Eating. That's why I weighed 250. Like, that's what happened. Now that when I was losing weight, I learned how to talk to myself about myself. I learned how to talk to myself about people. I still get social anxiety. I know it doesn't look it. That is the crazy thing about social anxiety. A lot of us are high functioning, anxious people. When I'm with y'all at that camp, I look really comfortable. I am more comfortable standing on the stage talking to all of you than I am in the crowd with all of you. I get real overwhelmed real quick. It feels like everything is racing by me. Like, sometimes y'all will be talking to me and I'll have to ask you to please repeat what you just said, because my mind is now freaking out about, like, oh my gosh, like, I'm thinking about what's going on behind the stage. What are the Zoom rooms doing? What's that conversation over there doing? What do they think of my ass? Because I noticed they're at this angle from me. Like, all of it's happening at one time. It's just a lot of like knowing that I get it. And me not freaking out in the moment about my freak out. Like, I've just like, if I have to ask somebody, please, can you just repeat what you just said? I just didn't hear you. I don't think that that's weird. And I also don't have to tell everybody that I'm anxious. I can just know it and know that's a normal part for me. And that really tamps down my, it's like, you got enough anxiety that normally kicks off, but if you get anxious about your anxiety, you just went to a level 10. I can hang out at about a level 6 or 7 and be functional. When I get to 8, 9, and 10, that's when I'm like, it's not good. Not good for me. That's where I'm eating at night or crying at night until I have to go back the next day. Those days are over, though. Thank God. All right. Brianna, what are we coaching on?
Hi there. Coaching on how to get over what I like to call my drug dealer, aka my husband. He brings in the food. I say I want to okay, we have the plan. This is what we're planning for today. This is what the good, better, best. This is what we need to do, should do, and also too because we have a almost 9-year-old who is categorically way over the percentile. Like she's basically the size of a small woman right now. And so and we're working with a pediatric specialist, but we know right, it's the diet. And so all of us are where we need to get to a lower weight and see that I can't even say we need to lose weight and
Actually, you can. You just did.
I know, but I'm
It's just not the first thing you want to say, but that's okay. That's not a problem.
because
You're
again I
getting
don't
used to thinking in that way again.
that's it and I don't we try and talk to her about we all need to get healthy, make healthy choices and stuff. Like I don't want to tell her you need to lose weight, just like mom needs to lose weight and dad needs to lose weight. 'Cause I don't want to have that complex and a lifetime of weight problems, much like I had.
Well, the one thing you can do is you can tell yourself right now that that's not going to happen. If you're trying to lose weight and no BS, I promise you that's not going to happen. I mean, I would almost bet my life on it. As long as you are like just doing what we do, talking about like, and you being hyper vigilant about it. And I want you to notice, we'll get to the husband in just a second, but right now, you're hyper vigilant for it. And usually, when we are like in that mode, it is really hard to do the thing that we're most scared of. We will do everything we can to not do it. So it's like you've got already internally built in you the warning signs. It's not like you're just going to accidentally be like, you know what? I think we should all lose weight, fatty. Like that's just not going to happen. You're not going to talk to your kid like my dad talked to me. So, but what I don't want you doing it from is from this idea of fear that I'm going to give her a complex. I want you to see, and I'm just giving you permission to think this right now. I don't think it's in you to give her a complex about it. Like you're already too focused on not doing it, and all you need is focus to not do it. So we're fine on that, but we need to address this husband that you call a drug dealer, which is not helpful. He's not a drug dealer. If I'm guessing, let me ask you a couple questions. Does he struggle with his weight? Okay. And has he struggled with his weight for a while or just recently or?
No, for quite a while, I would say post high school, when they were teenage athletes, as we were, and I say this just because they just posted again, it's like the 40th anniversary of them all winning the city championship. So they live in the past, but in the reality is he works shift work, but he works where he's sitting all day, much like me. So he always talks about, oh, I'll get to the gym or I'll start on Monday. One of those things where it's delay, delay, delay. And then in the meantime goes, okay, one last meal, one last thing, and then brings home pizza and lunch McDonald's,
Okay, so
all
he's
of that
not a
stuff.
drug dealer. You know what he is? He's an emotional eater like you.
Yes.
So we don't want to call him a drug dealer because it makes it sound like he's doing it on purpose. What do drug dealers do? Purposely try to get you hooked on things for their own benefit. And I don't think your husband is sitting there going like, I'm going to get some food. I am determined to make my wife and child as big as a house. And when they're big as a house, they'll be dependent upon me. That is not
But
what's happening. And it's,
okay,
I
could
think it's just before we can address the issue, we're going to have to take that temperature down. Otherwise, you're going to start pitting him as an enemy and you're going to be mad when he brings in food instead of understanding. He's like the rest of us. Who the fuck wants to give up the foods that make him comfortable? That maybe that's the way he connects. Maybe that's the way he relaxes. Maybe that's the way he passes through boredom and stuff. Nobody likes giving that. Like they equate when I start losing weight, I have to be miserable or I have to do all these things instead of there is a period that's hard because my coping mechanism is gone. Until I learn how to fulfill that's the tricky part, not the food. It is learning how to deal with life in a new way. That's the hard part.
And I think that's it too, because when he does like, because I present, the no BS way, and I'm like, okay, let's plan, let's do this. And he's like, well, the plan is I'm gonna have protein and vegetables the whole time. And it's like an all or nothing. And he does that for about 2 days or a week, and then falls off the
So
wagon.
he's a woman.
Well, essentially, right?
Yes, he is like, this is why I want to have compassion for him because we think sometimes that men should just be different. And like, you're even talking about it is like, he's being ridiculous. He's like just making all these mistakes. It's, I feel like the ring of judgment coming through. And it's like, I'm not judging him. You know what I'm thinking? You should lead the way instead of judging him. You should stick to your plan. When he can't, to show him it's possible and it's not miserable
So
and that
then,
it's better than you think it could be.
which I am down with, and thanks for like bringing to light, like, yeah, don't be silly, use the resources we have. But then that's where I look at this, our daughter, and I'm like, okay, if I'm leading the way, do I bring her along with me, or I'm like, well, you stick with dad and see what I do. Like,
Why
I
does
don't
it have
know.
to be an either or?
Because that's where it's
Why
like,
can't, why, well, let me ask you this. Why can't it just be, I'm going to do what I know is best for this family by modeling what I think is best. And he's going to do what's best, what he thinks is for him right now, until I show him it's not as bad. It actually works. You don't have to plan protein and veggies for every meal. When you start showing him and you start like illuminating, like he's going to pay attention to what you're doing. He's paying attention to it now and bringing in food. So that means he's got the skill of watching you, right? So now we need to show him, like when he brings in food and you say, I already made my plan. Enjoy that. And you don't make it a big deal. You don't have to eat it. You don't get pissed at him. You don't do all that shenanigan stuff because you're focused in your head on like, he needs to see me demonstrate. Not only does this work, but it's actually fun. It's not that bad. There's way more flexibility than what he probably learned in high school. Athletes learn how to eat one way, especially men. Men really know two modes, all in, all out. And they don't have drama about it. My husband is the biggest one of all. Like, I laugh so hard because my husband has not done shit for like a year. Just ate graham crackers and bags of potato chips every night in the bed. I have got thousands of pictures of him over there with his beard covered in crumbs. And I'm just laughing. I'm like, will you please let me pick that out? I can't stand looking at your beard with all those crumbs. And so I'm just over there like a, mama monkey going through it. All of a sudden, a few weeks ago, he is cooking his own chicken every night. Next thing I know, he's lifting weights again after like a 3-year hiatus, comes out of nowhere. I said, why are you limping? He's like, I'm sore. I was like, from what? Like, that's how shocked I was. He's like, well, I've been lifting weights again. I'm like, well, what made you do that? He's like, well, I don't know. And he just started. So the reason why I highlight this to you is because we don't need to hate that. We don't need to do anything. He has listened to me talk about my lifting for the last year, my pull-up stuff. He's watched me do things. And then he eventually just like, oh, I guess I'll just start doing some stuff. And he made the decision on his own. Most men will do that. Your problem is, do you want to be the leader or do you want to be the judge? Because you can't be both.
That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah, just blinders on and I guess lead the way.
And let me ask you this. Is he concerned at all about your daughter? Okay. So this is the other thing I'll tell you, or that you can even answer. If you are staying in your lane, and your lane is, you know what? I'm going to do this for all of us. I'm not dragging anybody along. My job is to show everyone in this family how amazing a healthy lifestyle can be, how natural it can be, how easy it can be, how fun it can be. Just like think of all the lovely things that come along with it. That it doesn't have to be deprivation and restriction and like all these things. So I'm going to be the leader over there. And his job is to watch. But I also know he's concerned about our daughter. So he's probably not going to buy stuff and sabotage her. Eventually, he will probably keep buying things, not because he's a drug dealer, but because he's not ready yet. Something in his head is scared to try. And you don't even need to know what it is. You just need to know that it exists. Because if he wasn't scared to try, then he would probably just do it. And that's what stops every single person is for some reason, there's like right now, you're scared to lead because you think something that it won't be enough. Or what do you think? Why are you scared to lead the way?
Time. Again, I'm trying to realize these aren't excuses, these are reasons, but they are blocks. Is like we both work shift work, and so like I get home later on the times of where it's like for dinner time. So he's taking on the meal prep and the meal stuff. But that's where, so like on one hand I appreciate it, but the other hand, like that's where he'll like we'll be quote unquote normal eating, like your homemade eating for a few days, and then by Wednesday all of a sudden it's like, oh, the convenience food comes in, oh, the takeout food, and then basically it just falls off. And so it's like I again I'm getting ahead of myself, right? Like going like, oh man, if I take on my days off where I'm, well, one parenting while waiting for him to come home, it's like, okay, I hate the word should. I should be the one meal prepping. I should be the one getting it stuff in our meals. But I'm like, but frig, it's my one day off. I'm exhausted,
Okay.
right?
I don't think you have to do that. I don't think this is a problem at all. If he's the one who's in charge of the food and you want him to be in charge of food, which it sounds like, then when he wants to do convenience food, have you told him what to get you so that he's not just getting you anything?
Yes.
Does he get you that food?
Sometimes yes, and then sometimes no. He'll come home with like something totally different for all of
All right,
us.
so for the different places, have you given him any like guidelines of like, hey, if you go here, I want this. If you go here, I want this. If you pick some random place, I'm going to want something like this. That's what I'm going to want to eat. So could you just do that for me, honey? Have you done that conversation yet?
Yeah, well, even like for instance,
yesterday for lunch. He had the vehicle, so we didn't have access to like go and do our groceries or whatever. But when he came back, where he's like, okay, I'm gonna bring something home. What do you want? And like he's like, do you want McDonald's? And I'm like, no, we don't need McDonald's. Okay, Subway. And I was like, okay, I gave him the list of what I wanted and what she wanted, and it was like a sub. And then he brought that, and then he also brought like bags of chips and cookies for all of us too. And I was like,
Right, but you got what you
didn't.
wanted. You got your Subway. You didn't
Didn't.
have to eat chips and cookies. I just want you to
I know
see.
it was
There's
delicious.
no
But
problem.
if he didn't bring, if we didn't have the chips and cookies, I wouldn't have eaten them. But because they came in the
No,
house,
no, no, no. You just
yeah.
lied straight to your. How are you ever going to lose weight if food can be forced upon you, which is what you're saying? If he hadn't have done, I wouldn't have. That's called being a baby. That's not called being a woman. Okay?
Right.
We are not in third grade anymore. We are now grown ass woman stage, which means to lose weight, you have to learn the skill. Like, if you're ever going to lose weight, you know what you got to learn the skill of? Holding your ground, your own ground, not to him, to yourself. Be like, yeah, I didn't ask for cookies and chips. I
Yeah.
want them. I notice I'm getting mad at him. That's not his fault. He wanted cookies and chips. He thought we would want to. Because what you just basically did, Brianna, you did not lead. This is what you did. He brings in chips and cookie. You trained him that every time he goes to Subway, he should get those because you will eat them.
Right.
You
Yeah.
stop eating them, you will train him not to buy you things.
Right. Right.
And when you
Yeah.
ate them, did you go like, fuck you, give me the cookie. God damn it, you ruined my diet. Did you do that? Or did you be like, this tastes pretty good and said
All,
nothing?
almost. I was like, why'd you bring those in? I
And
said,
then
give them
you
to me.
ate them, and then did
And
you
like
look
I said, give them
happier?
to me. What's that?
And then when you ate them, did you look happier?
Of course, because they were delicious.
Yeah, you just trained him that it's
Right.
okay. You
Yeah.
trained him that you actually really want them. Even when you say you don't.
Right. You're hitting the nail on the head. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, being a leader is not easy. Being a
Yes.
leader means you actually have to lead. It means that the people behind you don't know how to do it yet. The
Right.
leader has to show how to do it, which means when he, like, it was great. He said, you want McDonald's? You're like, nope, I don't want McDonald's. I would like Subway, and here's what I want. Now you know the next time that this happens, you just say, this is what I want from Subway, and here's what I don't want. I really don't want cookies and chips this time. Here's why. It makes it really hard for me, and I'm trying to lose weight, not only for me, but for our daughter too. And it would just make it so much easier on me if you don't bring them, because if you do, I'm probably going to get mad, but I'm going to end up eating them. And then I won't be happy. Like, you need to have that conversation. Have you had that,
Right.
like, compassionate? Let me show you what happens to me when this happens.
Yeah. No, I haven't. Yeah.
That's leading. Leading means I tell you what to do, I tell you what not to do, I tell you why this is really important. And then I follow through on what I said I wanted, even if you don't. Because you need to see I mean it. You don't need to see that I only mean it if you behave a certain way. We cannot control our husband. We can control Brianna. We cannot control our daughter. We can control Brianna. But Brianna can influence everyone greatly.
Right.
And
Yeah.
through influence, that's how we're going to do it. So I think for you, it's like, I just want you to see him like literally, you're seeing him as if he's standing between you and weight loss. And I want you to just start telling yourself, there's only one person standing between me and weight loss, and that's Brianna. Brianna has to be able to say no. Brianna has to be able to stick to plans. She has to be able to be flexible in a way that helps her weight loss. You weren't flexible with Subway. You were very inflexible. It either has to be this way or I'm just going to eat. Instead of like, I'm flexible. I'm going to eat my Subway and I'm going to be flexible with myself and tell myself, we didn't have chips and cookies planned. If I really like the nice thing about chips and cookies is if you really wanted it, it'd be good the next day. Because Subway ain't putting anything but a
Yeah,
lot
she's
of
going.
preservatives in their cookies.
Probably 5 minutes. Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that. So thank you. And this will be a re-listen for sure.
You just need to see your husband. The only, like, the main thing I think I need you to do,
I'll be there in 5 minutes.
see your husband through new eyes. He's not your saboteur. He's not your drug dealer. He's someone who really wants to lose weight too, and he's not strong enough to do it yet. And you need to be the strong one right now until he is brave enough to try. Really try. Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Brianna. Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions. Rough day yesterday examining my buffering behavior. For all of you who don't know, we don't teach buffering here. That's a concept from an old mentor of mine. Buffering is just where you basically, it's like eating, scrolling, smoking, drinking, whatever, in order to not feel something or to create an emotion or something. It's just to put some distance between you and something that you think is gross. I think my brain is finally starting to help me solve for it. Good. I want to be a person who doesn't eat in the bedroom in the evening. I do it every night and wake up feeling regret every morning. It upset me that I have a trainer and follow the four basics, but this habit is sabotaging me. What can I do? Go through the nighttime eating course, Cheryl. Cheryl, I need you to tell me though if you're brand new. If you are brand new, that course will come for you later. You need to get through the basics first. And during while you're going through the basic course, the No BS course, you want to be thinking about why am I eating at night? Anytime we're sabotaging, I don't know if you're technically sabotaging yourself, but what you might be doing is trying to pass the time, fulfill a need or something like that. Listen to why you want to eat at night. What is this eating trying to tell me that I need? And then you can take that to ask coaches. But if you've been in the membership, if you're not part of Lose 10, the initial group that joined, you might have access already to the nighttime eating course. If you don't, that will be the third one you take. So you'll go through the No BS course. Then we go into emotional eating reset, where it kind of shows you all the reasons why we emotionally eat and kind of helps break it down. And then we have a whole thing that's specifically tied to just nighttime eating. Let's see. All right. How do I avoid the beatdown when doing the buffering problem solving? Super simple. The second you hear, you just need to first get very, like, get to know that beatdown voice. You will know it. It sounds like ass and feels like ass. You listen to it and then you talk to it like a friend. So if it's telling you you always fuck up, you say like, I know you think we always fuck up. In the Lose 10 course, I believe it's weeks 6 and 7 or 7 and 8. I can't remember. I think it's 6 and 7. There is a technique called notice and narrate. I believe it's week 6. You could go to the website. You can go ahead and watch that video. It will tell you what to do with that voice. Essentially, your beatdown voice, you want to notice when you're doing it and you want to narrate it to yourself. And that will be what will solve it. All right. What are we coaching on?
Just the, I've been here for since July, and I've
Okay.
done really good. I have, except now that the holiday season is starting, I love to cook. I've always loved to cook and bake, specifically bake. And so for a period of time, I've not been baking. But, with this program, I've learned that I can bake and I don't have to eat while I bake. And at the same time, I catch myself like yesterday I made these cookies and I had one at the end and I decided that this morning I needed to add something to top, like a chocolate drizzle to make them a little bit less pepperminty. So I've already had, and I didn't put it on my plan for breakfast this morning, but I've already had, I had to have, had to have one to make sure that it was what I wanted, or,
Okay, so that's not a problem.
that I did the
It's
right
that's not
thing.
like if like literally if it's like if you're baking for the neighborhood or you're baking for whatever reason and you need to have one to make sure that like your new concoction is okay, that
It's
is
okay.
not how we get overweight. It is not like
True.
anybody ever came to me and said, "God, Corinne, I gained so much weight testing samples and during the holidays to make sure that a new recipe actually worked." Could like, and I gained 50 pounds. It's like that is never a problem.
You're so good. You're so good. I wish you were just in my head. I try to get you in my head. That's the other struggle here is there's so I could listen to you. I mean, I could do a lot better if I could listen to you all day long and
You can. We've
twice on
got about
Saturday.
4,000 hours of content. You could put in an earplug and just go if you wanted to.
No, I can't. I have a life outside of that as well. I mean, I'm even in another program. I'm in a I for all of you, anybody listening, I'm 67. So I it, but that it, my age doesn't have anything to do with it. It's incontinence. And so I have a vagina coach and I've joined that program. So I have to give her program a certain amount of
I was just joking about
attention.
listening to me all day, but when you say I could listen to you all day, I just wanted you to know. I
I
bet you there's
could.
plenty of any time. Like the real message is, anytime you're feeling doubt, insecurity, when you're in the realm of your weight loss like stuff, put something on.
Yeah, I know.
Don't
I
like
know.
you can listen to you or you can listen to me.
True, true. I
And
love
when you're
that.
in that space, I would much rather, it's just like I have my own coach and I have my own memberships working on different things too. I've got business memberships, I've got all kinds of stuff. Like I have got plethoras of content to listen to. And specifically though, when I'm in my own head about things, it is a lot easier for me to listen to my coach other people, or to listen to her teach concepts. I plug her in a lot and I go about like whatever I'm doing during the day and I'm just kind of passively listening to her. It helps me not be so in my head. So I'm not saying you have to listen to me all the time in order to do this. It's just think about it as like a lifeline. That's why I give y'all the short, like, I know some of y'all are newer. You don't have this yet. You will get it when you're done with your 8-week program. But you've got Corinne 365.
Yes,
And those
I
are our
love that.
short ones. So, yeah, because sometimes you just need 5 or 10 minutes. And then you have the replays, which sometimes, like, you might be driving and you want to be able to listen to something that's, 2 hours long, like my calls. Okay.
Yeah, those I listen to the 365s every day. I really love the 10 ways to bring joy to the holidays. Those were really awesome. I'm gonna print them up and have them at the access because I'm in a book club right now reading a book called The Joy Reset,
Yeah.
which I highly recommend. It's such a great book for anybody who's had any trauma. It's just super. So I plan on printing those up and saying, this program I'm in teaches these 10 ways to be joyful. And those have really, it's not the first time I've heard. I'm someone who's worked on myself for many years, and so many different things have helped me become who I am, much more confident than I used to be. So, I just appreciate your program and even Brooke Castillo, even though I don't necessarily appreciate her anymore. I did, and she took me, she got me along, she got me through a period of where I can analyze my own thoughts, and that really helps. So I just appreciate your program. You've been so good at being honest with all of us. You're not afraid to just, speak the truth, and that is awesome. And that will help you on your journey back into the church because you have got everything and you're teaching all the things that really scripture teaches us. So you
Yeah.
do a good job anyway on your own.
Well, I
And
appreciate that.
yeah, and the Lord
So you're saying I'm
has
not going straight to hell?
heck no. No way. No way.
I
No.
have it in my mind that I bought an express ticket to hell and I need to somehow get it changed.
No, you know what? He loves you exactly the way you are. Because you have done a great job with your program, and he is the one that has inspired you and made you who you are. Even
Well,
with
thank
your
you.
language, I mean, even with that.
I appreciate that. I appreciate
All
that.
right, and I
All
appreciate
right,
your
your cookie is
program.
not a problem.
I guess, you know, I've really gotten back into the joy of cooking again because I am finally hungry again when I sit down at the dinner table at night.
Yeah.
So I'm inspired to cook again because I
Yeah.
was not inspired to cook. When you're already full at dinner time, you don't even want to make dinner. So
Yes.
now it's all come back to me. I can get hungry, and that inspires me to cook better at night. And so
That's awesome.
it is awesome. Thank you.
I love it. You're welcome.
All
Bye-bye.
right. Bye. There
Sorry
you go.
about that. I'm
That's okay.
super, super excited. I joined about a month ago, and MJ and Kathy have been super helpful. So, and by the way, I'm a Catholic rosary saying chick, and I say fuck all the time. So it's only a matter of time until they kick me out. But anyway, and because of your candor, that is the most Christ-like thing you can do, by the way. Okay.
Well, thank you.
So I'm working on a lot of things. I'm very, very strong. I'm 65, very, very strong, self-sufficient, the whole thing. I'm very emotional. I'm sensitive. I'm a sensitive. So Kathy's stuff about not being hard on myself for having that parameter of having empathy and being so joyful over things, little things make me so happy. My question to you, I'm so thrilled to see you. By the way, your arms, you are just cut. I am so jealous. And I'm trying to
Thank
get
you.
back. I'm trying to get back, to exercising. That's a whole nother thing. As far as the physicality of the eating, I was listening to a video that you did. And at one point, someone was eating a cookie and I salivated. If my husband brings stuff in, I think about it, but I literally salivate. And it's
Yeah.
almost like it's a real, real physical thing.
It is. That's a
Because,
normal thing, actually.
yeah, because
There's a
I have enough discipline to stop smoking. I was able to run marathons. I've just had my knees replaced. So I'm struggling with that, but I'm doing okay. But even that, eating like stuff, I was eating stuff I didn't eat. So I gained 10 pounds. 10 pounds just from the couple of months of the knee replacements, because I'm like, fuck it, I want a piece of cake. And then I had my new mantra was beef lo mein stops the pain, because I had beef lo mein. I couldn't sleep. I got ate cold beef lo mein, and the pain stopped. And my dad died from complications of diabetes. His leg was cut off. And he said to me, Ruth, do you notice that when you eat, it stops the pain? And I said, yeah. I said, because I thought, because your nerves go to the digestion and stops from the pain. So tell me what your take is on the physicality of this, because it
Yeah.
is absolutely mental, but holy smokes, at night I'm starving. I'm a late night eater. I'm starving. And I eat. I'm like a boy the way I eat. So it's twofold. The
Well,
physicality.
let me ask this. So, well, let me just explain this. Number one, the salivating, that is a real basic human like physiological response. So your brain center, it's wired to, when it sees food, to try to make you hungry. Because when you think about, like, we think about our lives in the modern time where food is just everywhere. And there's just no shortage. You can drive, like on your way to the grocery store where all the food is, you're passing lots of places with food. 1,000 years ago, that did not happen. If you went to another town, you went through the woods. And the brain has always been wired since prehistoric days to when it sees food, it's like, we should probably eat this because we don't know when food's coming. So it's still very wired that way, even though the modern day age has changed. The reason why I always think this is really key to kind of understanding things, so we're not like thinking something's wrong with us or that we've got a weakness issue or whatever, is because if you look at your feet and you look at your hands, like your pinkies are short, your baby toes are short. They used to all be equal.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
Wow.
because we climbed and we dug with our hands and we did everything with our hands and we walked barefooted all of the time. They say that probably in another 1,000 years, we won't even be born with pinky toes anymore. The appendix used to serve a purpose. It doesn't. It's now a real teeny tiny little organ in the body. And one day humans will not be born with it anymore because through evolutionary times, we don't need it. And like there's an iguana right now that is basically changing genders because of climate change. I was literally listening to this on a news story a couple of days ago where the iguana needs to be like, I think the male doesn't survive as much in a certain climate. And so they're noticing that iguanas are now almost all becoming females because that's the only version of that iguana that can survive. So all human species, like species, like humans, everything, they evolve over years and years and years, like, centuries and, thousands of years kind of thing. Well, we hold ourselves to a standard of, well, I shouldn't be hungry. I shouldn't be salivating. This must be a problem. It's like, I don't know. Short of a lobotomy, good luck. Like that's just the way it is. We just have now what we didn't have thousands of years ago, which is way more access to what we call that logical side of our brain. Way back in the day, the logical brain almost didn't get used at all. It was all reactionary, it was all habit. It was like cavemen did not sit around and think. Cavemen literally sat around and did nothing until it was time to react to something, because otherwise, a lot of thinking time was very dangerous. Now, if you had to stop and think about should you run or not, when a bull elephant's like stampeding towards you, you got a problem. So that one aspect that you were talking about is very important for you to know that when you smell food, you probably are going to salivate. For some of us, even see, like for me especially, if I see something, especially something I think like I like that's tasty, I can have just ate lunch, drive down Nolensville Road, smell Sonic cooking tater tots and hamburgers, and I will want to get something. Even though like I'm literally not hungry, I didn't plan on Sonic. It's not even time to eat, but my brain will go to, ooh, I bet some Sonic would be good right now. That is just normal. Our job is to know that it's normal and to not make it a problem and to just remind ourselves of that logical brain that we actually have so much access to now that throughout history we didn't have access to be able to say, oh yeah, I'm actually not hungry. I just smelled food or I just saw food. That's all that's happening. And when we do that, we don't feel as anxious. We don't feel like something weird's happening. We don't compile on top a lot of those emotions and stuff that would make us want to eat or drive us crazy and make us think losing weight is just so hard. It's like, no, this is what's always supposed to have been happening. That's it.
Okay.
So what was your other question about the physicality part?
Is about taking away pain. I mean, I know it takes away, emotional stuff. And, if I'm sad or scared, man, a cookie. Oof, cookie's a good medicine. I don't really like fried foods. I don't really, I like a glit, I like red wine, but I don't care. But if you told me I could never have another piece of cake, I'd be like devastated, or a cookie, or, and when I have a piece of cake, I feel such joy. Now, I love to eat. I love to smell. I love,
And there's nothing wrong with any of that, but it's the
Okay.
way you're describing it is where there's some thought errors happening. So the one is you're saying, it makes me feel good.
It takes away pain. It calms. It's calming, and
It
I know.
does. So now that is a physicality thing. So when you are in physical pain, there's number one, if you're in physical pain, and then you're in emotional pain on that, it will make physical pain get dialed up. Like you will hurt more. And you're not only in physical pain now, but you're also in emotional pain. So everything just feels like a level 10.
Yeah.
There's a lot of studies that show like the reason why some people who have like really chronic pain issues, that when they get into meditation and things like that, where they are slowing down their brain, where they are calming their nervous system down and stuff, they actually do see decreased levels in physical pain
Yeah, that rosary does that.
with nothing changing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you eat food, you are kind of like medicating with food.
Yeah,
So,
absolutely.
like cake and cookies, it could be wine, it could be chips, like anything basically that you like. There's two things that'll happen. Number one, when you eat, you are now distracted from thinking about your pain. So if I'm eating cake, I'm not sitting there going like, oh my God, my knee hurts. Oh my God, my knee hurts. And I hate this. And rah, 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 rah. Like, we're just like, oh yeah, cake is really good. Like we're now like, and we're probably telling ourselves, you deserve this. Like suddenly when we're eating, now we're allowing ourselves to have like probably a better conversation. And you can take that conversation and you can do that without food. So like, instead of like sitting there with cake going, you deserve this, you don't like this will just make you feel better and stuff. We can have a conversation that says, you know what? You don't deserve to be in this much pain. I understand how much it hurts.
Yeah.
And you can be there for yourself and you can say things like, I love you enough to just be here with you. And let's figure out other things that we could do or what are ways I can console myself that I just don't do it with food? The secondary part, the physiological part, is anytime you release that dopamine into your system, whether that's through food, self-talk, or whatever, it does tend to take the pain, like nerves, and dull them some. That's like you're not lying that you feel better, but you're getting there in one way, not necessarily the best way.
Yeah. I have to
And
say,
that's the conversation I have.
the emotional pain in life is worse than the knee pain. The knee pain, it was bad, but it was handle it. There were days,
Then
but
I would focus on going to ask coaches about whatever emotional pain you're having. Take one thing that you think right now is causing you to feel bad or whatever it is, and let the coaches coach you on
yeah.
it because there's
I absolutely think it's my nervous system. I think
okay.
it's
Well,
listening to Kathy about the, I've been listening to her stuff, which is
yeah.
great because I said I'll have a nice hot cup of coffee and I will listen to that and it'll take my mind off of, gee, there's biscotti in the drawer that I really like, that kind of thing. So,
And there's nothing wrong with that because you're learning. At least you're like, if you need something to take your mind off of the food, I would much rather y'all listen to some of our stuff because while you're listening, while you're taking your mind off of the food, so you're taking down the urge, you're also filling your head with useful things that could possibly help you. So there's nothing wrong with that. But like if you're in like, there's nervous system pain, but still, like when we're talking about our nervous system, there's usually thought things that we also need to be working on too, to alleviate so much of that. Because, At the end of the day, our nervous system is getting racked because way back where we can't even hear the thoughts, they don't feel like thoughts anymore. It's just things that we believe now. So we don't consciously think about our beliefs. They're just things that are just in there set in stone. There's probably those things that are conjuring up all of that. And so when you're working on your nervous system, you allow yourself the space to be able to look at those sets of beliefs that could be hidden so far down that they need to be examined.
It's sort of like Pandora's box, I'm afraid to open Pandora's box sometimes. I survived many, many years at my job and just in life, just not feeling, because I just needed to just keep going, and
What do you think's
so.
going to happen when you open the box?
I don't, it's just going to be probably uncomfortable because it's nothing like major, but it's stuff that I guess accumulates, or me maybe tolerating things I shouldn't have tolerated, for the sake of a job or the sake of a relationship or the sake of a friendship. And, I'm using my voice a lot more, and it causes friction. I try to do it in a loving way, but it does cause friction. And, it's just this, because in all our lives, everybody's got stuff. Okay. And we all have different things, but when we're experiencing our stuff, it's important. So my stuff may not be a big deal, but compared to what other people do, but it's just
Right,
my
but you're telling me
experience of it.
everything, but what literally is going to happen if you look at this stuff? Besides feeling uncomfortable.
I'm gonna cry.
Okay. So we
Who
can, what's your.
wants to live in the past? I don't want to live in the past. I
I
want to move
know, but
forward.
when you're eating over it, you're living in the past and doing nothing about it. The past looks like it could be trying to come up to be healed instead of you saying, I don't want to heal you. I need you to stay in the background and drive my nervous system crazy and make me eat biscotti. I mean, and
I feel
I'm not, this is the weird thing, is you're thinking I want you to go live in your past. That is not what I'm saying.
For me, I just don't
I
want
want
to
you.
rehash it. Is in my head, in my narrative, is that I'm rehashing it,
And in
and I
my
and
head,
it's
you're
working.
only going to bring up the things that need to be healed so you can have a better life now. Or you can leave it there and call it rehashing and not live the life you want now.
And so basically, how do you even bring that up? You just think about it. I mean, I thought I do Eucharistic adoration. I'm a volunteer, and to sit in front of the monstrance is, you're sitting in front of Christ, basically, and that might be a good place to do it. I don't even know how you even go about it. Do you sit? Do you,
You don't do any, like, this is the thing. Nothing in your past needs to be brought up today unless it's causing problems today. So, for example, if I don't know, something happened in your old job and you're now retired, unless it bothers you every day, that's just done. We don't even need to go there. It's like I just tell myself that shit's over and done with. Like,
I worked for a very, very prominent knee surgeon, like worldwide known. And he had retired, and I was the last one that got laid off. I knew it was coming. Guy had millions and millions and millions of dollars. I worked for him for 25 years. I even took care of his kids when they went to Japan. I did all, your family, your family, your family, which I knew, okay, I'm not really family, but okay. And the end was so ugly because I didn't, he offered me half my salary, no insurance, 10 hours a week, but he wouldn't tell me which 10 hours. He would not
okay.
work with me. So when I said no, he told me to collect my things and get out. And if I went on my email, he would sue me to the full extent of the law.
Okay.
What happened was I took care of myself. I said, I'm not going to do this. This was right before COVID. I said, I can make no money and I can go work and help old people in the nursing home. And I have a,
Okay.
so I could do stuff that's really going to help society instead of,
Okay.
helping him manage his homes, his finances, his $8,000 wallpaper for the dining room, all that stuff. And I
Okay.
was
So
a
what is
really good employee. I was
All right.
a kick-ass employee. Did not
Okay.
deserve that, and I never fully expected that. So that to
Okay.
me was because I wasn't expecting it. So to me,
Okay,
it was
but
a comment.
what do you think? Why do you think that needs to be rehashed at all? Because it sounds like you've
Because
got a
I'm very
great
upset
story.
over it still, and it's been
Okay,
5 years. How long am I going to be upset over this? I mean,
maybe for
five
30
years.
years. What if, like, let me just ask you this. It sounds like it was douche. To
Total
me,
douche.
that sounds
Total.
douchey, right? So
Total.
we agree you were treated poorly. And we also agree that you treated yourself well.
And I think not through the years I didn't. And I think that's what I'm mad about. That I worked till I was dizzy and I was tired
No.
and I gave up too much. And I'm mad at myself for that.
Okay. So that's the part we want to work on. We don't need to work on the douchebag. We don't need to rehash every single thing. All we need to do is heal the part of you that's mad at you.
Yeah, because I let it happen.
That would be, and that's where getting some coaching would be helpful because your story is I let it all happen. And we want to go back and we want to look at the story of how did you not let that happen? How did it actually happen to you? How did you take care of yourself the best way you knew how in the time? How do we change the story of I'm mad at myself for these reasons to I'm proud of myself for these reasons?
Yeah.
And here's what I've learned going forward. That's when I say we're going to go to the past and heal things. We want to heal the relationship you have with yourself and how you were showing up because you have a story that, like, I don't want to rehash all of that. Except if you're telling me 5 years later, you're still thinking about it and pissed at yourself, you're rehashing it all the time with no purpose, with never making you the hero. Without telling the story in such a way that heals you so that you never really have to think about it again. And if you ever do think about it, you're not thinking about it as if you were a bad person who let things happen to you. You're now thinking about it in a way of like, I really got through something tough. I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, there's a
After
part of me
all
that
those years
is,
of
yeah.
giving, like
There,
you
I have
probably
a part
had
of
at the
myself
time.
because I did
Really?
stuff with that job. I paid for an apartment in Manhattan. I sold the apartment. I'm living off that money. I'm living upstate now, and I love it. Absolutely love it. I'm married 10 years now to a guy that I used to run with 30 years ago, but I just let so much go by, and I am proud of what I did. I endured too much, and I walked into that job because I was chunky in college, started running, and I went in a thin girl. And God forgive me, I know you're not supposed to call yourself names, but I left it an elephant. Okay. I was like, I went through menopause, I know all that, but it's like I remember eating Snicker bars because I was worried I couldn't get the deadline. And he was, just a very loose cannon at times, but at the end, there was cursing and just nastiness, nastiness.
This is why you need to take this story to ask coaches and let
I
them
will.
help you heal this story. Because even your whole story of the, and I was eating Snicker bars, it's like, well, yeah, if somebody's being really nasty to you and you don't have a way to be there for yourself when you're scared, you found a way to be there for yourself.
Yeah, I
Like,
went
we
back to
want to
school.
go.
I went back to school for art history. I did do things, to which
Yes.
as time went on, it was, and that was such a joy, just to look at
Yeah.
the beautiful art.
And that's why if you will work with them on
Okay.
this, you will start releasing the judgment you have over yourself, and you will be able to see, wait a minute. Number one, I did way better through that situation than I think I did. I just am not seeing those things. I'm seeing all the problems because I'm so mad at myself. The second thing is you start understanding what you were really going through at the time. It's so easy for all of us, and I want all of you to hear this. It's really easy to look back at a situation where you are now through that lens and judge who you were. She wasn't the same as you are today. She didn't like have no BS. She didn't have enlightenment. She hadn't been looking at what Kathy has said. She like even the last 5 years, anything, right? We forget we are different people at every stage of our life with different experiences, different capabilities, different all the things. And when we look back though, our brain has something, you were into the physical stuff of this. Our brain has something called hindsight bias, which means that it goes back and looks at things through a lens, not through reality. And so sometimes it's like if you, it's like when y'all start no BS, you're rocking and rolling, losing weight and stuff, and then you'll hit like a rough patch where stopping enough's really hard, or like you'll finally hit the emotional eating thing that's going to take time to unwind to really get the rest of the weight off. Well, suddenly you will look back and you will be thinking about keto and you'll be like, I just remember on keto feeling so good. It worked. And I lost all my weight and I was never smarter than I was when I was on keto. But in the moment, you wouldn't, if you were so smart and enjoying it and like all these highlight reels were booming in your head, you wouldn't have quit it. You forget, oh yeah, I forgot I was like had the flu every day. I couldn't drag my ass out of bed most days. Like I forgot this part and I forgot this part. Hindsight bias whitewashes a lot of things. Hindsight bias also works in the opposite. Sometimes it goes back, and I can't exactly explain why, but it just happens this way. And sometimes it depends on if you kind of be a negative Nancy versus an optimistic. That can kind of play some of the roles. Like Chris has amazing hindsight bias. Me, when I look back at everything, it is like that could have been better, and that could have been better, and that could have, and that didn't work, and
Me.
that didn't, like I am just
That's
like
me.
that. All right. So if you have that as a natural tendency, your hindsight bias is not to go back and be like, hot damn, so proud of myself. I got out of that toxic work relationship. And you know, and when I was eating those Snickers bars, I know that had nothing to do with me as a person. He was just too hard on me and I didn't know what to do with it. But that was the only way I could stand up for myself. Now, yours is just like, I left an elephant. Like I shouldn't have ate. And like, like your hindsight bias swings to, let me look at all the ways that I can be mad at myself. Instead of let me look back at all the ways I could be proud of myself. And that this the value of the coaching. And so that's why I just want to say one last time. We're not rehashing things just to sit and bitch and moan one more time. That is rehashing means I'm just going to tell the story the same sad ass way I do every single time that fires me up and makes me miserable. And it sounds more like a bitch session to my bestie. And now I've bitched about it for 5 years. That's rehashing. Going back to heal means going back and looking at things through a logical, compassionate lens, and in a way I'm not used to. That is the most important part. You're used to looking at it one way, and now we're going to look at it through a way that will blow your mind that you could actually look at it through. And when that happens, and it feels like the truth, it feels just as true as the other. Your brain naturally wants the new truth simply because it feels better. It offers relief. And our brain loves to make us feel better. That's why it likes cookies and that's why it likes cake. Now it can like better thoughts. Okay.
That's makes
All
perfect
right.
sense. Thank
Take
you.
that story to coaches and let them help you with that. Let's just start right there. That was the one you identified with me. I think that is the best place for you to start. Okay.
Okay, I will. I will. Lord have mercy on them having to deal with me.
They're gonna love it. This is what I pay them for. They get off on it. You know what they don't like? Our coaches do not like sitting around worrying that y'all are gonna quit because you won't ask for help.
Yeah.
Now,
No, yeah.
if y'all want to know what we worry about, that is our biggest worry. Like, that's what keeps all of us up at night, is that y'all need us and you won't let us help you. Okay.
Yeah. Now you got some kick-ass coaches.
Yeah, I do.
Thank you so much.
Thank
I'm
you,
so
Ruth.
delighted to meet you.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, answer a couple of questions. I'm going through a lot right now. I'm gonna have to read it from over here, y'all. Otherwise, it's gonna be too blurry. A big part of that is going through a separation, which is a situation that I anticipate will get worse before it gets better. I'm feeling very emotionally overwhelmed and on edge of a burnout. Over the past few weeks, my brain has thrown up every coping mechanism in the book at me in order to comfort me, which is totally what it should be doing. Anything that your brain's afraid of, something that's new, something that it thinks is going to be worse before it gets better, your brain's job is now to be like, oh my God, sound the alarm. Every way that we've ever dealt with things and we've gotten some kind of relief, I should start offering it. I should start offering it right now. So that is a very normal part of the process, and that's fine. So sometimes I can overcome the urges. Sometimes I can use pause plus permission, even with hours of a pause before giving in. And other times I just fall face first into the urge and overdo it. Sometimes I give myself grace because of everything I'm going through, but other times I get frustrated with myself because I've come so far in my journey and this feels like a major backslide and I should be better than this. You shouldn't be better than this. I don't understand how, if you're going through a major separation, unless you are a chronic separator in marriages or relationships, how should you actually be better than this? This is something new and big. You should not have tons of experience in this. So there's no, I should be better. Really think about that. That is going to be a thought that'll kill you every single time. Because all that's happening right now is everything that you're explaining to me is very normal. Sometimes I can talk myself off the ledge. Sometimes I can wait a while. So I'm getting really good at the pausing, and it's even making it up to an hour now. So I'm seeing progress. Sometimes I'm doing this. Sometimes I'm pausing. I'm actually noticing the pauses are getting longer. And sometimes I notice I still overeat because those right now I haven't quite figured out yet. That's what we've got to get to. The only thing that we can, the question ends up being, how can I approach this in a way that I can be proud of myself and also not send myself into overwhelm? The best way to be proud of yourself is to every single time you beat yourself up to remind yourself, this is not so, like, I think it's supposed to happen this way, and that's not true. The way it's supposed to happen is this is a very new situation, and I have things that I can do. And they're eventually all gonna work pretty consistently, but because this is new, that is not right now. Right now, I need practice. Right now, I need to identify when I'm making progress instead of saying my progress doesn't count unless it's perfect. The only way we lose weight is to stop being that person. Is to remind ourselves all progress actually counts now. I've always believed it didn't, and that is what's kept me from making progress. Don't forget, your brain likes to feel good. And if you don't, like, when you're beating yourself up, if you don't be there for yourself, be compassionate, remind yourself, oh, wait, I'm not supposed to be perfect at this. I'm just in this, like, I'm supposed to take these situations where I give in and eat immediately, and I can't practice my pause. I'm supposed to take those situations and ask myself, I wonder what I really needed in that moment. Because pausing isn't enough in those moments. Something else needs to be worked on. And very often, when you have those situations, this is where you have to work with the coaches on what's going on so that you can take your temperature down on how you're feeling. Because there's times where we're already seeing that you know how to lower the temperature when you're feeling overwhelmed, or you know how to lower the temperature when you're feeling bad, so much so that you don't eat, or that you can put a long pause in before you do. And so what we want to find out is like, well, what are those specific things that I think in specific situations where it's just a lot harder for me right now, and I want to figure out why. It's usually going to come down to when I feel this way or this thing is going on, they can ask you some questions and help you figure out. It's because, like, when I tell the story of this moment, it's very overwhelming. It's very, it's really big and it's very dramatic and it feels so real. And when it feels so real, the only thing my body thinks it's going to help me is to eat. It doesn't realize yet that there is kindness available, understanding. It doesn't understand that there's a new way to start telling ourselves the story so that we don't get so jacked up. Like, that's what's happening in this moment. And that's what we got to do. And the other thing that I would do right now is, you're anticipating it to get worse before it gets better. And I just want to offer this thought. What if you anticipated you're going to get better at handling anything that comes your way? Whatever it is. You're not going to be in control of the things that are coming, but you can be in control of what you think about your capacity to deal with shit. You don't need things to get better in order for you to feel stronger, to feel more capable, and to feel calmer. You just need to get better at, I'm going to get better at handling whatever comes. I'm going to get better at reaching out for help from the coaches, no matter what happens during this separation. I'm going to get better at being there for myself while this is going on. That's what I'm going to be doing because that is in your control. The things that will happen will never be in your control. The way you treat yourself through it, the way you talk to yourself through it, and the way you describe what's happening around you, that is in your control. 100%. And when we have a place where we feel like we have control, we feel better. Because when you're just anticipating that bad things can just come at you, you also feel like you have a sense that you've lost control. And we want to look for what is it that I am in control of? And we want to hang on to that so that as things happen, you're focused on the right things. We can't control what a boss does. We can control how we talk to ourselves about it, though. We can control whether we're the hero or a victim, whether we're mad at ourselves or understanding of ourselves. Those things we control. Said, how can I stop being jealous of a friend who is having more weight loss success than I? Please go to Ask Coaches. Tell them, I'm jealous of my friend who's losing more weight. Because, and then tell them every little thing that you're thinking and let them coach you. That's kind of a big topic, so it would be really hard for me to like just here's the four steps to no longer being jealous of a friend. This is where you want to get some coaching. All right, what we got going on, Lindsay?
Hi, Corinne. I found out Friday that I was being riffed from my job, and
Okay.
I'm trying to figure life out from here. So been feeling really emotional about it and
Yeah.
just really struggling. I did already reach out to Ask Coaches to get some help, but I just told my self that I need to get on here today. And I'm experiencing a lot of like physical sensations too that feel like just anxiety in my body. So, and I from learning from you and Coach Kathy and Coach MJ, like I know what's going on, and I'm going through it, but I still have like 6 weeks to work, and I am just not sure how to go in every day with grace and keeping my head held high,
What do you
along
think?
while looking for a new job.
Do you want to go in with grace and your head held high? Or do you think you should?
It's probably a bit of both.
Okay. Let's do this.
I was in
Let's just.
a leadership role, so and I the team doesn't know yet, and without saying too much, like I just thought that I would get potentially more support from my boss.
If you did the grace and the, what do you mean by getting more support from your boss?
In the immediate, like at least checking in to see how I was doing and so everything. So,
Okay, so let's just be really clear on what you would like. So here's the thing. Your boss may or may not check in on you, no matter how you act.
right.
You could show up and be the world's best employee the next 6 weeks. You could go in there and be a complete jackass the next 6 weeks. And
I am a good employee. I have been, and I have put my heart and soul into the organization and the work that I do in our team. So that's why I'm devastated.
yeah. And I think you should be devastated. I think you should be upset. It sounds like this job was important and you have a lot of your identity tied into it because you're a great employee and stuff. Anytime something like this is happening, the way you're feeling is absolutely normal.
And then there's the worries of, the loss of income and my family that, I have to take care of. So
So let's do this. What right now could we work on? And you can pick anything you want that would have you walk away from this call feeling a little bit more settled. I'm not saying you're going to be happy and not crying anymore and all that kind of stuff. But if there was like one thing that you were like, Corinne, if I could just feel this or at least see how I could feel this after this call, this is what I'd wish for.
I think I want to give myself more permission to feel crappy. And yet
Perfect.
the other part of me is like, no, like you need to get that resume done and like get out there and start applying again and work your network and, because this is like your survival or whatever. And so that's probably that.
Well, that's good. So let me ask you. So I think the reason why your brain is like, no, we've got to look for a job. We got to do this. Your brain is doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's like, I am so afraid you can't take care of your family. You ain't got time to feel crappy. You got to get into, fixing this mode because it thinks if you just get a job or you do this, you're going to feel so much better, which you might. It'll probably relieve some of your worries and anxieties. But it's not going to fix everything. It's not going to fix the, if you're hurt that you got let go, it's not going to fix any of that,
Yeah,
So
I am hurt. Yeah. Very hurt.
let's, yes. So
Oh, and it's, I
if
mean, it was a, yeah, never mind. It doesn't matter the circumstance. So I didn't do anything wrong. That's all. And I do know that. So
yes, and
it
that's
was
actually important.
a mass reduction in force, not just me. So
So that's really good. Like, I just want you to set, to tell yourself that
yeah.
because if there's any kind of like, this is unfair. I was a good employee and it shouldn't have happened to me. That is
Yes.
something you can go back to and say, you know what? There was probably a lot of good employees that got let go. This is a mass thing. This is not a personal thing, but it
Yeah.
feels personal.
100%.
And that gives you a little separation there. But
Yeah.
let's go back to, I just want to be able to feel crappy for a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you should. And I think we should craft what is crappy going to look like for you? What is processing this going to look like for you? Because right now, your brain thinks that you can't process and save your family at the same time, when I think we could probably do both at the same time.
Yeah, and this morning when I was feeling all that anxiety, because I wake up generally happy, and then it just like I could just feel it come over my body, and I was like, this is the moment when Corinne says the tiger's chasing you, but it's not really, but I think just continue to mourn about it and. Just remind myself, and then, like, what resonated with me from the last call is just how do I really do a good job of taking care of myself? I have a long history of overeating to take care of myself, and I have been with no BS for a long time, but lost a lot of weight, gained it back. None of that matters, but I'm in a space where I'm actively losing again, and I feel really proud of that. And I am proud to say that I haven't eaten through this. There was one quote where, from the handling the holiday, I know it's not called that anymore, but where it was like I can handle this without eating, and so I've really hung on to that. So back to like what taking care of me looks like, doing all the things that I normally do, but I think I have to probably do a few more things because of how much it hurts right now.
Like what?
Just like connect, like resting, connecting with my family. I mean, they've been amazing through all of this. I have amazing friends and family. And I think the other thing I'm leaning into is asking, and when people say, "What do you need?" like actually saying, like, "I need you to check in on me. I need you to text me back if I text you. I need you to help me problem solve because that part of my brain is not firing right now, and that's what I pride myself in being really good at."
Yeah. And so you're going to get better. Like, I want you to think about this. You're going to get better at using both sides of your brain now. Like, you already are good at problem solving. And now we're going to use the side of our brain where we're going to get really good at letting it have its natural feelings. We're going to get really good at letting it cry, letting it kind of worry. We're going to get really good at like just noticing like I'm feeling really scared right now.
Yeah, I am. I'm scared. Yeah, I am.
What are you most scared of?
I'm scared that I won't, I mean, it's like be able to pay my mortgage or, what I mean, just take care of my family.
Okay, let's just work on this real quick. All right. And I am going to ask you to use a little bit of your logical brain. Do you feel like you're in a place where I know you're like, I can tell by just looking at you and stuff that you are pretty,
I'm way above home base.
yeah. Are you way above home base, or are you like borderline where I can be crying and stuff, but I also can think if
Yeah,
you
I
ask
can think.
questions?
No,
Okay.
I can.
That's
I
good to
can.
know, because sometimes even though we're a hot wreck, which Corinne can be a complete hot wreck, and somebody can ask me some questions and I can answer them.
No, I can. I can. Yeah, thank you.
When you say I won't be able to pay my mortgage, logically, when do we need to truly worry? Like, when are we going to run out of money and not be able to pay the mortgage, and like doomsdays type scenarios are going to happen?
I mean, it would probably be a couple months, but I need to. That's the one thing. Like, my husband was just like, we'll sit down and worry about the budget, but I don't want to go there with you right now because you need time to process this and you need time to. So I don't, I honestly don't really know. So, because we
So
haven't
that's good to
actually
know.
sat down.
So this is good to know. Let me ask you this. If it was as bad as you're imagining it to be right now, knowing your husband, would he just be like, Like, I'm just going to let it get bad. Or would he say, no, we really need to think about this right now?
No.
Okay. So this is where you go back to leaning on. I said I would let people support me. So when my brain is thinking we're not going to be able to pay the mortgage, one thing you can tell yourself is, I don't need to worry about that right now. My husband, he's thinking about it. He's protecting us there. He will let me know when I need to think about it. And he told me now's not the time. So I'm going to trust him because he's thinking more clearly than I'm thinking right now. I'm in feeling mode. He's in thinking mode. And that's always good to see because then when those anxieties come up, that's one way to just breathe through it and say, I have someone taking care of that. It just feels really important to me right now. Okay. The next one was something. What was the other thing? It was like pay my mortgage and something else.
Just make sure that we, can, I mean, I don't have to maintain every lifestyle, but just to make sure that, in the next few months that that doesn't have to be a worry the whole time. I want to worry about finances the whole time,
Did you, are you getting severance or no?
No.
No severance. Okay.
And
So
it's not, yeah, it's
you have
because of the
6 weeks
type
of
of
pay.
organization. Yeah.
Okay. But you have 6 weeks of pay coming
Yeah.
to you.
Yeah.
Okay. And is your boss the kind of boss that will let you look for a job while this 6 weeks is working through?
Probably. I don't think that she's going to. When I was, she was in the room and she couldn't even look at me. So I don't think she's going to be able to talk to me about it at all. So, and I feel I there's deep hurt there because we are friends.
Well, she's. I just want you to think about this. You're probably still friends, but she's been like, I'm going to say this, and this is, I just want you to hear it as someone who's been married to someone who's had to lay off so many friends over the course of a 25-year career. My husband worked for a company that got bought out every 3 years, sometimes two. And anytime a company gets bought out, they almost always come in and they want to make major cutbacks so that they can resell the company and make money again. And my husband, it's the worst thing to have to get good at, but he had to get good at laying off people that he cared about deeply. Chris is what I would call an extraordinary human being who is very, I don't know, his mind doesn't work like all of ours. He always sees the bright side. He just, it just, it's almost sickening. But I just want him to be upset sometimes and he won't do it. I would almost bet that your friend feels so bad about this that she is ashamed to talk to you about it. That this isn't, this is not to let her off the hook. It is so that you can let yourself off the hook that somehow she's going to be able to check on you. If she's in, like, we're just going to imagine for a moment that you are friends and that she was put into the position to have to let you go and to tell you about it. And she's very ashamed and that she didn't like having to do this. And when we are ashamed and don't like to do things, we don't show up very well. We will not show up for another human being the way they want us to. We won't have the capacity to do it because now she's in her, she's way above home base. So, you know, like how you're above home base in your situation, shame will get you out of your window of tolerance. And she can't think, she's not going to be able to say, like, well, I need to prioritize Lindsay as my friend. She's sitting there thinking, everybody hates me. I'm not saying that's 100% true, but for you to get a little bit of space so that when you're going to work, you're not getting re-traumatized because she's not showing up the way you need her to. Because one thing you said was, if I do this, then my boss will check in on me. You
Well,
go in there and be amazing. And if she's ashamed about letting you go, she will not be able to make eye contact with you. She will not be checking on you because she'll be afraid to hear what you're really feeling and thinking.
she's made many comments over the years that it matters how people exit. And so, of course, that is ringing in my head.
Yeah, that's easy to say when you ha didn't have to put people on a chopping block.
Well, and it's been of people's own doing, and so that part has been, I mean right now, like, I feel just done, and I want to be done, but I
So
also
how can you,
don't
but you
want my
also don't want to work.
reputation to be like, oh well, she just then was done, and she didn't leave the organization in a really professional way. I mean, I don't know
Okay.
how you
So
can be
let's,
professional in this situation. Like, it
sure
feels
you do.
horrible.
It feels horrible, but that doesn't mean that you can't show up professionally.
I know.
Have
And
you
I'm not.
ever faked anything in your life? Like, has
Have I?
anybody ever pissed you off and you didn't say anything?
Yeah, but I'm not really that good at faking things. I think I will be. I mean, I'm not going to go in there acting like an asshole. Like, that's not it.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I just don't, I don't know how to, I don't know how to be. And
Let's just pretend that,
all of
like,
my work needs to go to someone, and that's not my
okay.
responsibility to tell somebody that. So, is she just going to assume that I'm keeping to do it? I mean, but
This is what I
again.
think. Let me tell you what I think. I'm going to make this real easy on you because you don't know how to exit. Basically, you're saying, I want to be able to exit gracefully. Everybody's talking about you're talking about being professional. Sounds like you want to be professional and
I
stuff.
do, absolutely, 'cause that's who that to me is like my moral, ethical compass. Like, I want to
Okay.
show up.
If that is your moral, ethical compass, then you absolutely do know what leaving, I want you to answer this question. In order for me to leave in 6 weeks and to feel good about myself, I will have done these things. What are those things? Just give me three. And then you can flesh this out more for yourself. But let's just think about that. Because when something is like a core value, I think you think that there's a book of here's how you leave the company and, 10 easy steps. There's no book. Everybody has a different way that they leave. And you're going to use the way you leave is going to be driven by your core values, which means you do know because anything that would go in conflict, if you have a core value and you even grabbed your heart and said, it's important to me,
It is.
your heart would let you know if you're not doing that. Like you won't be able to do anything but leave with
But
grace and professionality.
I have worked myself to death in this position, and, like, given up family time, sacrificed many things. I don't want to do that for the next 6 weeks, and
Okay, then that won't be leaving gracefully.
I don't know what I don't know what the in between is that would.
Okay, what time do you normally leave work?
You mean like in the day, 4 p.m.
Okay, do you work over a lot when you say you give up family stuff? Are you working
Yeah,
over a lot?
I come home, and I will sometimes work all through the night to get things done.
Okay, for the next 6 weeks, guess what leaving gracefully and professionally is?
Yeah.
They got you till 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then from 4 until 10,
Yeah.
that is your time. You get to decide that.
Yeah.
Just like you got to decide whether or not you worked at home or not, you decided to do that.
Yeah.
Nobody made you. It was because, hey, I'm the kind of person who will do that. Otherwise, we don't do it, you know?
I've made most of the decisions for the team, so I don't feel comfortable since I'm not I'm not in a position to do that anymore. So respectfully, I just don't feel like that I have that authority or anymore.
So, what will you be doing now for the next 6 weeks when it's a decision time?
So I think when if a team member comes to me, either they'll stop coming to me, which could also be, or if they come to me, I would just say, respectfully, you're going to have to discuss that with the leader.
Okay.
Because,
Well, that's
I'm not
professional.
in a position to,
I don't
tell
even
you
think you have
what.
to say, I don't even think you have to say that. I think you just
Okay.
say, I would just take that to Susie. Let's just pretend her
Okay.
name is Susie.
Okay.
Just
Yeah,
so,
that's
because I feel
exactly.
like you're going to be over explaining and that's going to make you anxious and
It
all
is.
kinds of stuff. And I think you just say, hey, why don't you take that to Susie? I think she can handle that.
And I mean, maybe like with that, I want my team to still feel like they're supported. So, and I don't know if I need to say anything, but I do tend to say too much. So, and you're right, it will make me feel worse if I overexplain.
So how can you still support them from the time you arrive until 4 o'clock that leaves you feeling like you're in integrity to yourself?
I'm not sure. I mean, aside from just being kind.
Okay, that's an
Yeah.
important factor. That's
And
a great way to support them.
that doesn't feel like enough, but
Well, what is it that you're so worried you won't support them? What is it that you think in the next 6 weeks you're going to stop doing that would now remove their support?
everything.
Like what?
Ensuring that people get answers in a timely manner, ensuring that
Why do you
they
have making sure they're getting their answers in a timely manner? Between the time you, but while you're at work, why does that have to stop?
because I don't have any control of once I pass off the decision to someone else.
But before you did,
Yes, 100%.
and they said from now on, like for the next 6 weeks, when you pass something off, you don't have control over this anymore.
They didn't say anything, and I don't believe that there will be a transition plan.
That's fine. So, you know what you could do? This is what one of my employees did when she came to work for me. She gave them 4 months' notice that she was leaving.
Yeah.
And she handled everything. Everything. It was a small office.
Yeah.
And she kept saying, you know, it's 3 months from now, you might want a transition plan. It's 2 months from now, like, you may want me to start teaching you how to do the things. It's 1 month. Like she just kept on and on and on. They never did it. She left on the last day. There was no transition plan. There was no training. There was no nothing. She's like, I was really professional. I kept offering it. Nobody wanted it. So for
So
you, though, instead of thinking about this, if they're not expecting you to have a transition plan and they're only expecting you to be there for the next 6 weeks, if they're not detailing it, you don't have to have your own expectation that you're giving it. What's happening for you is your core value is saying, I think there should be a transition plan. I still care about this company, even though they're letting me go. I care about my reputation. I care about my job, blah, 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 blah.
care about my team a
I
lot.
care about my team.
Yeah.
So you have two things, you have two choices ahead of you. You can say, you know what, for the fuck this, for the next 6 weeks, I go in, I'm out of there at four. If they don't tell me how they want me to leave, like I know these things are important, but if they don't say it to me, I'm just not doing it. Or you can say, like, I am out of there in 6 weeks, but I care about my team. I know that they need a transition plan and stuff, and I'm just going to do it whether they want it or not, because I think that's what's best. And neither choice is right or wrong. But I want you to see you actually have a choice. I think right now you feel like you have no choices, and that's what's causing all this confusion about how to show up. You can show up literally any way you want, Lindsay. You're out of there in 6 weeks, no matter what.
Yeah. Well, and I don't want to organize the transition plan because that's what I've always done, and that's what has saved the day. And I don't want to do that. It's
Then
not
don't.
my job.
All
So
right. Then we're like, do you feel good about that? How does it feel when you say it's not my job to do the transition plan? And so I'm not going to do it.
it still feels like I'm not a good employee then because of how I leave, but
Then how does it feel when I say,
but I'm not willing to pile on myself stressing about how I'm leaving while I'm still trying to take care of myself through this really hard thing. I am not willing to anymore sacrifice myself.
okay,
I'm
then
just not.
this is what we need to remind ourselves. This is not me. My brain is confused. This is not me not being a good person.
Yeah.
This is actually me taking care of me.
Yep.
The next 6 weeks, it's really important that I give myself space to feel bad about this. And part of that is, in order to feel bad, I can't be doing extra work on top.
Yeah.
And I'm just not. That
And
doesn't mean I have to be rude. It doesn't have to mean I have to, like, I can just go and do my job, and I'm going to do the job as written. In 6 weeks, I'm going to be at a new job. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think if you give yourself some like grace to say like I get to feel bad, but I don't have to make myself a bad person because like I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this. Like no, I'm not doing these things because I've got to take care of me. The company's not doing that. That's my job. It's my
Right.
job to take care of myself through this.
And I don't want to eat through this. And so I am not in that space, but I don't want to get there. Like I haven't, I've
I don't
been
think you
able to
will.
be really proud of how I've been showing up and doing all the other tools and things that I know take care of me.
Here's what I think will happen. I think you'll actually lose weight over the next 6 weeks. You're going to lose the weight of this job, number one.
Yep.
You're going to lose the weight of feeling like you should be performing instead of taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
I think that you are so determined to not gain weight through this that you're really focused on caring for you. I think you're also, the more you allow yourself to be angry,
Yeah.
to cry, I don't think you'll eat. I think the more that you are willing to tell people what you need, like you've
Yeah.
already done, you will not need to eat because you're actually getting other people to help you through
Yeah.
this. And I think the last one is the more you lean on letting your husband worry about bills and mortgages and things like that. For the first, did you say you found this out on Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's raw. Like
I'm
in a
wrong. Yeah.
week or two, you're going to feel way different.
Yeah.
I promise you, it's not
Yeah.
going to be like rainbows and daisies, but give it a
Yeah.
week. And one thing that you could do is just take an inventory next Sunday.
Okay.
Do I feel any better than I did last Sunday? Just let your brain see if something's shifting for you. Recap, like, this is how I took care of myself this week. And let your brain see that so it can start thinking, like, okay, maybe we are safer than we thought when it was 3 days old.
Yeah.
It's like a newborn. You know, like a newborn's fun until about day 4 or 5 when you ain't got no sleep. And all of a sudden you're like, what the fuck did I do?
Oh, we have three, and I remember bringing the first one home. And I mean, my husband and I couldn't believe that they actually let us leave the hospital with them. And we, he's
Must
like
be a curse.
sitting in our living room. We're just like, what do we do now? What
Yes,
do
that
we
was like
do
me and Chris. Like by day 4, Chris and I were questioning our life choices at that point. And then when they get a little old, like, you get like couple months in and stuff, you don't feel like the 4-day version of you. And that's
Right.
the, I want you to think about it like this. It's like, it feels so raw right now because literally your brain doesn't even know what to think.
Well,
It's
and
just trying to create thoughts.
I cannot imagine how I would have handled this had I not had the, I've been a member since 19, and if I hadn't had all this behind me and done all this work on myself. So I'd
Well,
be in a
Allie,
worse place. So thank
you
you for
probably
that.
wouldn't even be able to feel all this stuff. You know,
No, I
some of
wouldn't, and I wouldn't recognize like what's happening or be able to put words to it or what it feels like.
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember I
Well,
used to describe it when I was a kid, like I'm out of sorts. That's the only way I could ever describe the, like just the butterflies. Oh, yeah.
do me a favor. Check in with Ask Coaches next week. Tell them you got coached this last week. Just tell us how you're feeling, those kinds of things.
Okay.
They'll notify me. MJ, I know you're on this call. I think MJ's still here. Like, let me see her update. I want to see it. And then just anything we can help you with. Like, you let us know. And then I think like once the dust settles a little bit in terms of like a resume and starting to look for a job, you will know when the right time is. You and your husband will know when the right time is. Just remind yourself like nothing bad has happened right now. I can take a little time to process this.
Well, the resume is actually up to date, so,
Well, that's good.
but I haven't interviewed anywhere in 11 years, so.
That's all right. Interviews are always the same. They're going to
Well,
ask
and
you the same
I,
skeptics
yeah.
questions.
And I mean, I don't worry about that part. It's just the, I mean, there's a little bit of, even though I know it wasn't my fault, there's a little bit of in the gap. I'm probably going to be taking a position that I'm overqualified for, and leaning back on some prior, certifications and professional licenses that I have. And so there's just a little bit of me too that, not that I didn't ever love that part of my professional career, but there's just a little bit of that in there too. Maybe a little bit of, embarrassment and shame, but I'm trying to remind myself that, you didn't do anything wrong in this situation and you gave it your all. They just made a different decision. So that wasn't in my favor, which, as bad as that sucks, like I don't have any control over it. So,
And we can also help you with the embarrassment and shame. Let's not worry about that for now. Let's get through this yucky part. Let's
yeah.
see what job you end up getting and how
Yeah.
you feel when once you get a job and all that stuff. And if there's any kind of things like that coming up, we can address all that then, because we don't even know if that's going to happen. And I
Right.
don't like to work on things that we don't even know are going to happen yet. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just a the way that the I work in the field of education, was administrator, so the way that the way that it works, the cycle, like jobs that I would be qualified for aren't likely available at this time of the year. And so that's why it's kind of hard too. So that's
Well,
just
you
the
just
nature of it.
get a
So
job that gets you some income, and then you
yeah.
can always be looking for that next level job if you want later, or you'll
Right.
figure it out, though, is the main thing you want to tell yourself. You don't strike me as someone who will just end up in a van down by the river.
No.
So,
No, not at all.
Corinne
And
always thinks that she's going to end up like living under a bridge. I won't even have a van. I'll be lucky if I have like a tarp, but in my mind, that's where I'm always going to be.
yeah.
And I always have to remind myself. My coach told me one time, because I had this like legit fear that somehow I was just going to lose everything and like wreck my entire family. I mean, it was very paralyzing.
Yeah.
And she said, Corinne, she was like, I do not know why you worry about this. And she said, if you noticed somehow like y'all weren't able to pay bills, what would you do? And I immediately looked at her, serious as a heart attack, and I said, I'd go to the local restaurant and I would become a bartender because I could make tips like a son of a bitch, like that. And I said it like that. And she said, okay, somebody that says with such clarity that she would hustle drinks before she'd be homeless could probably relax and say that you might have lots of things you would do before you went homeless. So we always have that, right? All right,
Well,
Lindsay. We'll be thinking about you, okay?
yeah, thank you so much. This, I just knew that this was meant to be, and I came into the call late, but that you could call on me. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And if Kathy has a call in the, I don't know when Kathy's next feelings call is, where it's like, the hard stuff at night, or it's really a feelings call.
It's so good though. I've been listening to
Go
all
to
those.
it. Like if we have one coming up, write in and say, I need to be on that call. I want Kathy to help me process some emotion. Just do that. Okay. All right.
Thank you,
Thank you.
Corinne.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, y'all. That's all we got time for today. I thought we were going to get done early. I always have these fascinations that I'm going to end it in an hour and a half. Never. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.